That was the most unusual introduction I've ever had. No health and safety sign around me by the looks of things. I'm allowed to move this, eh? Oh, good. Thank you very much. Lovely to be with you this morning. I recognize some faces in the room and others are new to me, but what a joy to be with you. And Damon is exactly right. I really didn't know I was going to be here today, but God knew. And so everything worked out really well, and it's great joy. And thank you so much, Mark, for coming to join us. I've known Mark for around about 6 years now, I would think. We're in a meeting. I had a word of knowledge about somebody and didn't realize that it would be the forging of a really good friendship all those years ago. And he's a great man, wonderful prophetic gift. And so I'll encourage you afterwards. If you're looking for encouragement, he's not going to rush off. He's going to help me pray for you. And we'll really leave a deposit with you. But it's such a joy to be here. Heather and I are based in Dubai, in the Middle East, although you might realize that I'm not an Arab. I come from South Africa. I have been there all my life. My parents, I can't tell you where they come from, all over. So we've got part of my heritage is a Norwegian whaler. Who was chasing whales in the southern oceans of Africa and got shipwrecked. And so he landed up in South Africa, and he's great-great-grandfather. And then we got Scottish and all sorts of people. So we're quite a mixture. Heather and I have three sons. Cameron, who's 24. Richard, 25 now. 24 is Richard, our next son. And then Adam, our youngest, has just turned 20. And just got engaged. Can you believe that? So we will, by the end of next year, all our children will be married, which is a great joy to us. Yes. Woo! You must pray for your children, by the way. It is such a good thing to do. But lovely to be with you, and it's been great to get to know Damien and Sandra, who I've only met, I think, twice before, if I'm not mistaken. But it's lovely to be here with you, and thank you so much for the worship. And I look forward to this morning and see what God wants to do. I really don't mess up churches. I just help them fulfill the purposes of God, which I suppose some that's messing things up. But Jesus had a way of doing that as well, didn't he? Eh? Okay, here we go. Father, I want to thank you this morning, Lord, that we can be together in fellowship like this. I thank you for friends that you are bringing together from across the nations to fulfill your purposes. Lord, you long for every man, woman, and child to come to a knowledge of your saving power. And so you gave birth to the church, a community filled with the Spirit and power, that no matter where we end up, as we've just heard that lovely testimony, wherever we end up, Lord, we would be salt and light. We would be there making you famous. And I thank you for Prayer's House this morning. I thank you on this significant Sunday, Lord, where we remember Pentecost, where you poured out your Spirit and you empowered a group of people, Lord, who were nothing in the world's eyes. But Lord, no event has had more impact on world history in terms of the likes of us than that moment. And Father, I pray right now that you would empower me, you would lead me, you would really help me to serve these dear friends with great openness. Lord, that I'd be able to lead them into all you've got for them. I pray your blessing on this next 3/4 of an hour. In your wonderful name, amen. I was in a room in 1992 when I was a lot younger. And a man stood up and he prophesied. He said, I believe that a time will come when God will do more, when 7 years, what we would do in 7 years would take 7 months. What God would do in 7 months will take 7 weeks. And he went down. What he does in 7 weeks will become 7 days and so on. And I truly believe that over this last season, we've started to see that happen. Now, that might not be the case in your life, but I hope that after this morning's service, God would stir your heart to be caught up in His purposes. Amen. I sat this morning praying with Ray in his lounge. And I said to him, Ray, it really is that time. He said, can you believe what we've done in just a short few weeks? And I thought of this prophecy and I thought, yes, I can. Because God said it would happen. It resonated in my heart. And we're about a great, great journey together. If you know the story of David, when he was getting ready, had been to be made king. And prior to him becoming king, God started to add all different people groups to him so that God could fulfill His purposes for His people. And just before he took Jerusalem back from the Jebusites, I do remember it is, armies came and joined and said, we are yours. We're in this together. We're joining. And I believe we're in a season like that, not to make me king, but that we would fulfill the purposes of God together. Amen. Amen. You've got to help me this morning. I know you had a late night last night, I heard, eh? So I'm going to stir you up. And thank you so much for singing a South African song. You did realize you had one this morning, eh? Siyabonga. Okay, that comes from my nation, which is lovely. We sing it in Sesotho and we sing it in Zulu. And we don't stay in our chairs, by the way. Okay, if you know our late President Mandela, he had this wonderful dance where he used to move. He was an older man when he came out of prison, and he taught us all that wonderful dance. In my home church in Clarence Marcus, being there where Heather and I come from, when that song, when you hear those first few keys, everybody's out of their chairs because we know we're going walking with Jesus. And so thank you so much for singing that. This morning, I want to help you with three things. I'd like you to get to know Heather and I a little, and also Mark, and what we're involved in, and regions beyond. I'd love you to understand, secondly, what God has called us together to do together. Okay, it's so important. And thirdly, I'd like you to know by the time we go this afternoon, how you can fully participate in the purposes of God. Because there is nothing better than following Jesus. Amen? Amen. It's not the most exciting invitation where He says, come with me, I've got no place to lay my head. I don't have all the resources in the world that the world thinks they've got, but it'll be exciting. And that's what the invitation, this great calling God's given us. So I want to read you a passage of Scripture. It comes from one of Paul's letters to a church he planted in Corinth, and it's his second letter to the Corinthians. And Paul didn't have it easy with them. It's a church he planted. You'll note it was a city when he first arrived there where he knew what fear was like. When he knew what fear is like, where God spoke to him and said, do not fear. I've got many people in this city. I've got many here. And Paul was a man just like us. We read his letter and we think, what a giant of a man. But he knew times where, Lord, this is just really scary. And God said to him, don't fear. And he was filled with just loneliness and fear in that place. But many years later, he writes to this church that was blossoming. They were a multicultural group of people. But there are also people who had lost their way a little bit. And not only because they were all very young Christians, but because others had come among them and started to lead them away from the route that Paul believed God wanted his church to be built like. So the foundation Paul had laid, they tried to change it. And let me just say this right in the beginning. Very often in the church, one of the first things we lose is our greater calling to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Starting in our neighborhood. And I'm not sure where I am except in Croydon this morning, okay? It starts in our neighborhood. It expands into the great cities of the world across the seas and across the nations. And that's why we are here this morning. And the first thing that happens is that others come in and they say, oh, Paul, where is he? He's not with you anymore. Calls his father. He laid the foundation. Now he's gone. And they try and pull the church back. To being something that instead of looking to Jesus and His purposes, it starts looking to a man and his purposes. This is my ministry. Steve and Oliver ministries international. Okay? God always wanted the church to be filled with people who cared for their neighborhood, their community, their city, their nation, and then the ends of the earth, which I will speak about this morning. And so Paul, in a way, is defending his doctrine, he's defending his ways, he's defending his friendship with the people. And these men have come among them and said, where is he? He doesn't talk very well. And it's quite an interesting thing. You think of Paul not being able to communicate very well. There are others who are so much more eloquent, so much more able. Where is he now? And so this poor man now is writing and having to defend who he is, his love for the church and his purposes for the church in the form of a letter that he sends off. But one thing I want you to know straight away, Paul did not stop doing what God called him to do. He didn't drop everything and run back to Corinth to try. He trusted God with his church. Because even as we as leaders can have big impact on the church, at the end of the day, Jesus builds it. He's the one that does a work in your heart this morning to catch you up in his purposes. So we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. And I hope through this passage, you'll get to know me, you'll get to know regions beyond, and you will get to know what lies ahead as we journey together. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. And I'm going to read from the NIV. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some. That sounded quite nice, didn't it, eh? In Dubai, we have a lot of that in the middle of the night. They love to race supercars around, so we hear them doing donuts, as they call it, in the streets. Big, crazy place. Wonderful place. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. Okay, so he's talking about leaders who are pointing everything to themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. That's why we need the word of God, brothers and sisters. Okay, that we've always got the plumb line of God, and that's how we work out how successful we truly are or how well we are doing. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. Okay, can I read that again? So he's saying here, we, however, will not boast beyond our proper limits, but we will confine our boasting, let's say that together, to the field. Okay, to the field, and I'll explain that in a little while. God has assigned us a field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel. Okay, Paul brought the gospel to these dear people. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that, listen carefully, as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory. Amen. Fabulous scriptures, and I'll explain them a bit more in a moment. Today is a day where the Christian world remembers Pentecost. Okay, and you'll remember in Acts chapter 2, a people just like us are gathered in a room, most probably a similar size to this. And they squashed in there, they'd been together for weeks and weeks waiting on God because Jesus had said, don't leave Jerusalem until you have received the gift that the Father promised. And right through Scripture, that promise is weaved all the way through. I always think of Joel, the prophet, I forget how many years. Isaiah was 743 years before Jesus. So about 400 and odd, no, it must be more than that. Anyway, many years before, he's writing down, and God gives him this word, so there'll be a day when I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Okay? The old men like Mark will dream dreams. Okay? The young men like me will see visions. Okay? And or even on your maidservant. So it included everybody. We would be empowered by God. And today we recognize the day, we remember the day when the church was gathered waiting on Jesus. Lord, you know, how are we going to do this? The next thing, the room is filled with the power of God. And a people who are powerless in the eyes of the world go and change it completely. Amen? What a day for the church. I remember personally going into a morning service. Heather and I were both saved on the same day, baptized on the same day, and married on the same day. We were 14 when I first met Heather, I think it was. Is that right? Must have been about that. And on one particular day, we had this Reverend Roger Voke. He was quite a scary man, to be honest. He used to pound the pulpit in those days. We were in quite a formal church. He used to pound it. And when he called you out for salvation, you went, you know. I think he put into practice what he felt the fear of the Lord was all about. And you sat there, and I remember standing, and Heather and I gave our lives to the Lord. We were baptized a few weeks later. And sadly for us, we drifted away from God in our teens. South Africa was a very confused nation, and we were equally as confused and followed our own way. But one day I walked into a meeting just like you've come to today. We had two little boys by that stage. Heather was often in the children's, the creche, what do you call it, mom's room, because our children were so small. And our pastor opened the book to Acts chapter 2, and he read those fabulous scriptures from the book of Acts about Pentecost. And he said, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a mighty, violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And God poured out his spirit. And I'm listening. I'd come from a more traditional background. I thought, what is this all about? We'd been told this wasn't for the church today. We had the Bible. And I listened to him, but something in my heart burned. And at the end, they prayed for the baptism of the Spirit. So I went and stood there. I thought, and these two dear leaders of ours came and prayed. And they said, this is what's going to happen. They explained it really well. And they said, it's likely, but not imperative, that you will speak in tongues as the Spirit comes upon you. So I stood there, and nothing much happened, to be honest. But suddenly this wonderful warmth of God, it's all I can explain, came upon me. And I had one or two words. And you think, well, that's not as dramatic as I'll read in the book of Acts, Lord. But God was teaching. He was leading us on. So we left there thinking, okay, no, we're now baptized in the Spirit. And you don't feel that you're going to leave and go and change the world. But let me tell you briefly a quick story just to help you understand where we come from and why we believe the things we do. A few weeks later, Heather and I went away together with some friends. Another young couple. In fact, he was the young man who led Heather and I back to the Lord. That lovely word that came. Who was it earlier that shared? Yeah, what's your name? Yeah, that's right. Yeah in South Africa means yes. Is that the same for you or not? Okay. And just like she said, at work, you don't know what you're going to do. A young man came for an interview with us. And I wanted a new sales manager in my business. And he put his briefcase down. And guess what he took out? No CV. Took out a Bible. And he put his Bible down. Boom. And he said, before you hire me, I want you to know this. Before you hire me. He was sure I was going to hire him. Boom. He said, I'm a Spirit-filled believer. I said, what's that? So he led us back to God. And many years later, when we'd come back to God and I filled the Spirit, we went away for this weekend. And sadly, as often happens in this little town we went to, it rained and it rained. And it was a bank weekend, long weekend. So after 3 days of rain, we went to Heather and Angus's wife. We said, Can the men escape just for a while? We just cannot sit in this house any longer. It was a sort of a weekend holiday house. And so we left and we found this little hotel. It was in this quiet little seaside village. There was no one around. So we find this little hotel and we find a snooker table. So we think, let's go play. We're going to play some pool. Or do you call it snooker in this nation? So off we go. And I start sharing with them. I said, Angus, you're not going to believe this message I heard recently. It was out of the book of Job on the sovereignty of God. And I'm explaining to him as best as I could about the sovereignty of God. And all of a sudden, in the dark corner of this dingy hotel bar room, this voice comes. Don't speak about him in here. Turn around. Look. And here's this young guy in his mid-20s, I think he would have been, but he is a monster. He's a big guy, and he's got this big bushy beard, and his hair is wild, and his muscles are rippling, and he's sitting there, and he's looking at us. So I went over to him, and I said, I'm really sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody. It's just that we are really love Jesus, and we love his ways, and it's hard not to speak about him. And he said, well, you wouldn't if you knew who I was. So he said, well, we don't know who you are. And he said, I live with five witches and I head up all the Satanist worship or something like that. I'm a Satanist and we live in this coven or I don't know what he was talking about. Don't know much about that world, praise God. Because I was now filled with the Spirit, be careful, this is dangerous stuff. Out came, we can set you free of that. Yes, we can. So he said, you don't know me. I said, Jesus does. You can be free. So we took a piece of paper and we wrote down, this is where we're staying. If you want to come and be free, you come to that address. And off we went, thinking, wow, we did fantastically. Gee, someone's going to go somewhere fast and furiously. And off we go. So we go back to the girls and we share this. We say, we had such a fabulous time. We shared with this guy and he's a Satanist. And we've told him, don't worry, I don't mind. No, it's fine. If you can manage, it gives it a bit of power. Hey? 8 o'clock that night, it's raining and it's dark and it's miserable. And we hear on the downstairs door. Now, this is a quiet little town. We think, who's that? We go down. As we get there, the lightning sort of goes, you know, and here's this hairy monster of a man standing there, and he's wet, and he said, I want to be free. Wow. We're thinking, oh, dear. Ka-dum, 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 ka-dum. What do we do, you know? How do we handle this? We said, well, come inside. The girl saw one, and one look at him, and they're off. They said, bro, I'm not so sure about this, you know. So we take him into the lounge and I sit him down next to me on the couch. And my friend Angus is sitting just to the side in this L-shaped lounge area. And we start sharing about Jesus with this young man. And he is quite a sight. As we're sharing, suddenly, this voice says to us, you will not have him. Now, I come from a very formal church background. I've never faced any people who were demonized or even believed they existed. But they do. And I've since then seen many, many, many. So I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, he will be free. The next thing that happened is that this young man changed, manifested the demons that were in him. His whole face changed. I would love to say to you that it was no problem. We dealt with it very easily. I got such a fright that I almost wet myself. And the only thing I could think of doing was to hit him with my Bible. That looks like an NIV study Bible. It is it? 2.2 kilograms. Now, this is a small... No, this is a smaller one. I had a real one, a real Bible. And it was on my knees like this while I'm talking to him. And then this guy manifests. His face changes into this most terrible monster. I don't know how to describe it to you. The only thing I could do in my fright is hit him with my study Bible, which was a bit heavier. Peter, you must get a proper Bible. Okay, this one is, this is a half pint. Okay. I swung at him like this, and I caught him under the chin with my proper study Bible. This young man, this is no exaggeration, big guy sitting there, manifesting demon, lifted off, flew across the room, landed on his knees, hands and knees. Sorry about this, ladies, got violently sick, and the demons left him. And he just lay there, and he sobbed and sobbed. We led him to Jesus. My life changed that day. That day changed my life. I've often wondered, Lord, did you do that for him, or did you do it for me? That day changed everything. I suddenly thought, this is I now understand how to deliver people. I don't need a full-size one. I suddenly realized, this is real. What God's given us to do in the nations is in here. And everything we need to fulfill his call to change the great nations of the world is in here and in here. That changed us. That moment changed us. And when God finally called us and said, now leave all you've got and move up, we moved to the central parts of a very rural area where there were only 4,000 people, and we planted a church there. It was all preparation for that. Never believing all that God would do. But brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning. When we planted that first church, it's called Dihlabeng, Kereke ya Dihlabeng, which means church in the mountaintops. Okay, it's Sesotho, one of our many, many languages in Southern Africa, some of you will know. When we first planted that church, our congregation were the poorest of the poor. We had nothing. We had this old big steel shed on the farm. And so we cleared it out, we got rid of the snakes, and we got rid of all the other things that were in there. The only thing we had were some hay bales, so we set them out like your chairs are, these lovely bales, and we started to build a church. But one of the first things we did was to put a world map in front of the people and say the reason we are gathering here today is because all across the world are people who do not know Jesus. We're going to start here inside this very hot, stinky, smelly barn of ours, but we're going to trust that what God will begin here today, he will do something in us that will go to the ends of the earth. Never believe what God would do. Never believe. And that's Paul's story. It's Paul's story. On a horse, proud, going there. I'm going to destroy the church, whatever his mission was. And God touches him with the Spirit. Ananias gets given that commission. Go to this man on Straight Street. Pray for him. And he receives the Spirit. And God says, now I've called you to the Gentiles of the world. And it doesn't matter what our education is. It doesn't matter what nation we're in. It doesn't matter what building we're in. God has called us to impact our cities. Heather and I spent the day in London on Friday. We haven't been into London centre for many years. I come over here to the UK so often. And you see the people walking and the nations and the communities and the styles and the expressions of hope or hopelessness, whichever way you look at it. Everybody trying to find their way. church is in the middle. Jesus says, His manifest presence will be known through His church. She will be the thing that brings the light into the nations. Brothers and sisters, God has commissioned us for a great work. I want to just give you a few things quickly. I've been going a half an hour, I think. Is that right, eh? Okay. All right. So I want to speak to you four things out of this passage quickly. So I want you to know a little of our background. We then planted this little church called Dikhlebeng. We went from there to plant across the border into the nation of Lesotho, into the mountains, beautiful place, very rural. And then we started to plant into the towns until eventually God spoke to me one day and said, I want you to go to Dubai, which is the craziest thing. We have 4,000 people in our little town at the time. And then into the great city of Dubai. Has any of you been to Dubai? I know you have. But Dubai is about 2.2 million people now. The buildings are crazy. We've got the world's tallest building, although not for long. But they're already planning the next one, which is going to be in the sea, I understand. And it's just an astonishing place. And right in the middle of the Arab world, God has opened up the city. And the churches are flourishing, absolutely flourishing in the heart of that whole world. And we've been there now. This is our sixth year that Heather and I are there, never ever believing we would be there. But God is doing things. We're able to touch the nations. But let me give you a few thoughts from what Paul says here. Okay? First of all, number one, there is a fresh call to obedience to our God-given task. You need to help me this morning. Okay, everybody put a hand up. Make sure everybody's doing it. Okay. Now grab yourself by the cheek. Give it a wobble. Okay, come on. Okay. There's a fresh call to obedience. Okay, this is for you now. Okay, for all of us. Fresh call to obedience. Wow. Okay. Do you want to do it to the person sitting next to you? I'm sure you do. I always like that. Okay, lean over, grab them by the cheek and say, God's fresh call. Now, come on, you can't be gentle, okay? You've got to say, Peter, fresh call to obedience. You see, he's happy about it. Okay. Brothers and sisters, God's calling us to a fresh call to obedience, the church. And if we are going to fulfill what God's called us to do, if these people out here, instead of working on their, I don't know if that was a car or a motorbike out there, big engine, whatever it is, instead of working on their motorbike, if they're going to be here next Sunday, it's going to be because of you and I and what happens in our lives. Okay, the people are not going to come flocking. They'll come as we begin to fulfill our call. And it's going to be through total abandonment to God's purposes. How does He do it? By His Spirit. Amen. By us being empowered by God to do His work. And you might think, Steve, you just don't know how complicated my life is, how hard my work is, how difficult my finances are, whatever it might be. I want to say to you, God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. 1 Corinthians 1. He chooses the foolish thing. Okay, come on, be honest this morning. Who of you feel foolish in the eyes of the world? A few of you. Okay, there's some that don't, but a few more. Okay, you're the ones that God chooses. He chooses us to go and change the world. I was in a meeting. Is this going on the internet, this message? Will it be loaded anywhere or... Okay, so just this section, whoever's doing, please remember. We were in a meeting, Mark and I, Heather as well was there, and Maria, Mark's wife, in India. And we've got lots of churches. I'll tell you about them in a moment. And we're in this lovely setting. I think there were about 300 people called the Glorious Church Conference at Phil. We were created that way, weren't we? We were created that way. For years, I drifted away from God and tried to find in other ways, and you think, but always feeling dissatisfied. You think, well, if I make lots of money in my business, then it'll be that. You start making some money, you realize, I haven't got enough money. So you're dissatisfied. Then you look for this. Look for it in sports. Look for it in whatever it is. There is a thing that only Jesus can satisfy in the inner man. And so this young man standing there, and the tears are just flowing down. And he said, what's happening to me? Who is this? This is Jesus by his Spirit. And after the meeting, he said to Heather and I, you're going to be in my city on Saturday. Would you please come and talk to me? So we went out to this lovely coffee shop called Cafe Coffee. The logo says, Cafe Coffee, a lot can happen over a cup of coffee. Uh-huh. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. And he says, tell me what happened. We started to share about the love of God. Within a few minutes over a cappuccino, he's lifting his hand saying, Jesus, I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Wonderfully saved. Mm. He's got a fabulous job. He's just about to lay it down now. Because he wants to go plant churches. He's going to be powerful. This is what God does. Amen. This is the work of God that he wants to do. He's looking for us to be totally caught up in his purposes. Is that you this morning? Have you surrendered to Jesus? When we were away with a dear friend of ours, John Colwell, recently, all the men went away 2 weeks ago now, or a week ago. He taught us out of Ephesians, where Paul says, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he said, I don't think he was talking about Paul being behind bars. He was talking about being bonded to Jesus. Bonded like a slave, a prisoner. I'm taken captive for Jesus. I belong to him. That's where we need to be, brothers and sisters. So the first thing I want to say to you out of this passage is that Paul is calling us to a new commitment to Jesus Christ, an obedience. It's not a competition. It's about faithfulness to the task Jesus has called us to do. Number two, let me move on quickly. Paul says, we will not boast beyond our proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us. What's he mean? Depending which Bible you're reading out of, and I think ESV, it says beyond the proper limits, I think it is. Let me just see. Yeah, area of influence. One of the others says our sphere of involvement. Another, the NASB says our measure. We won't boast beyond our measure. Brothers and sisters, for every believer, for every church, for every group of churches, God assigns responsibility. I was hoping you were going to say, hallelujah, Steve, or give me a big clap or something like that. Okay? God assigns it to you. As a believer at work or at school or college or wherever you are, you have been assigned. God's given you an area of influence. And you can be influential at work. That story of Yah, that's exactly what it's like. This young man, Angus, came into our business. He put the Bible down on my desk. That was the start of our whole company changing. Because a spirit-filled believer arrived who knew who he was and believed it. And that's the difference. We know who we are. We know how to do the Christian thing. We know how to sing and praise and enjoy God in this setting. But do we know how to do it when we go into the world? That when you go out there, you think, I'm the answer. Hey, everybody, stop work. Just want to tell you, I am the answer. Okay, we don't do it that way. You can sometimes. In my nation, in South Africa, if you go on the trains, I think you mentioned a prayer on the train, you will see everybody sitting there gloomy going to work on the train. And then someone will step out of their seat and say, I want to bring you the word of God this morning. And they'll preach all the way into the city. It's just the way we are in South Africa. But you know what you can do? Is you can start praying for those that you work with and looking for opportunity. You get to work tomorrow morning. Yes, it's Monday. Sorry to remind you of that. and you hear of somebody who's had a miserable weekend, and you say, can I pray for you? What do you mean pray for me? Well, you know, I had the most wonderful day yesterday. We had this such a good-looking, tall South African guy come to our church. He blessed us. It was overwhelming. Just trying to keep you awake, sorry. And you can share and say, you know, I can pray for you. I can pray for you. Heather and I, we prayed for a man who had cancer one day. I mean, I had no faith. I shared it with the men while we were away. No faith. Put a hand on him, and there was the tumor. He was meant to die, except Jesus decided otherwise. Healed. Healed. That's what God's given us. That's what God's given us. But to each one of us, a field has been given. When we started this journey in this movement called Regions Beyond, and you'll now know where the name comes from. And the reason I felt God put that name on, because I felt that's what I wanted us to be. Wanted us to be a people who lived for the regions beyond. And our regions beyond are right outside that door over there, or the one downstairs, when we go out. For some like Heather and I and others, God will call us and take us to far off nations. But our regions beyond is right here. And in 1992, when this journey began, I never believed we'd be able to see so much. And so now, as we go and we follow God, He's assigned a field to us. That's the language. Paul's saying, when He knocked me off my horse and Ananias came, God showed me, this is your field. It's the Gentile world in his case. Okay? To us as a people, a group of churches, and we're around about 95 churches at the moment in regions beyond. Okay, but one guy who's in Lubumbashi in the Congo has 54 churches. I've only included him as one. Okay? But when God assigned this, he said, I'm going to give you this field. I want you to go to the nations that don't know my name. And he started gathering churches together. Putting them together. Never believed that we would be so scattered across Africa. We have churches in Bujumbura at the moment. Such a difficult place to be. They're killing people. Very difficult. We have churches into East Africa. We have churches in Europe, here in the UK. In the Far East, we have some fabulous churches in Philippines. Young leaders. They planted a church in March this year. A room that can take 90 people. So it's long, narrow room, like most probably about this size here. They've now gone to their second service. Because God's blessing their work. Wonderful to see on the Indian subcontinent, in the great city of Mumbai. We have churches there. 23 million people. That's about 2.5 size of London at the moment. I think London is 11 or so million people. 23 million people. Wow. South America and Rio. North America up in the northwest. Ray's just about to go there. In the Indian Ocean Islands, we have churches. Not in Jamaica yet, I'm afraid. For the brethren in the Philippines, I said to them, come on. Let's do some great work together. Let's plant a church on every single island of the Philippines. I said, how many islands? And they all laughed. 7,169. And you think, is it possible? Yes, it is. Jesus wants everyone to be saved. 95 churches. We got staggering diversity, brothers and sisters. We have churches that meet in facilities like this, and this is wonderful what you have. We got a church that's already finished, because they are ahead of us, that meet under an enormous tree up in Lesotho. About 25 meters high, a big tree, and get 250 people underneath it. Have you been there, Mark? Huh? To Maluseng? I mean, it's just so beautiful in this little village, thatch-roofed houses, and they all gather under the tree. We bought them some chairs. We said, can we help you get a building? And they said, why? We got our tree. It's cool in summer, and the sun comes in winter. lovely place, and they all sit there. We got such diversity. We have churches on rooftops in Pakistan. A young man by the name of Ghaffar, he worked for one of the banks in Dubai, and when we started preaching and saying, come on, let's play our part, he suddenly thought, what about my nation? What about my nation of Pakistan? It's heaving. It's so difficult at the moment. So he went back on holiday after receiving much prayer and strengthening him in his faith, as I'm doing for you today. Went back to his nation. He went to a printer and he printed lots of leaflets. And he walked around his city and he handed them out and said, on Sunday, we're going to be starting a church at my house. 60 odd people got saved that Sunday morning. And he now has this community. I think the roof's too small now, but they used to meet on the roof because it's so hot there. So they meet outside under cloth on the roof. Absolutely wonderful. God's given us starting. We have churches that meet in 5-star hotels in Dubai, where you come in and the coffee machine speaks to you, and you know you can choose. You just press a button, and it's crazy. Absolutely crazy, especially after being in a barn. We have churches near the Victoria Falls in Africa. I mean, God is just, he's given us a field. You get to play your part. Amen. And you must probably be sitting there thinking, but how do we do it? Aha, that's question number 3 I'm going to answer in a moment. But one day, brothers and sisters, we will stand before God and we will give account for our lives. You're going to give an account for your life. So what did you do with your life, with the talents I gave you? Well, I don't know much about this world. I was the computer games expert of Croydon. Is that all? I was this, I was that. God's saying, no, I gave you talents to change the world. We're going to stand before him, brothers and sisters. Thirdly and lastly, God wants strong, healthy local churches if we're going to fulfill this great task. He wants a community that come together and devote themselves to the purposes of God. Listen to what he says to his friends in Corinth. He says, our hope, brethren, we are hoping that as your faith continues to grow, okay, that's all of us together here, our activity among you will greatly expand. And so as our faith begins to grow, so we can expand and grow. Amen. Amen. He's saying, Paul is writing to them and he's saying, come on now. I need a healthy scene here. I need a healthy church. I don't need all your problems, church in Corinth. Because if you've got lots of problems, it's going to pull us back from fulfilling God's work. So he's saying to the church, come on, give yourselves, as I'm saying to you today. And he says to them, as your faith grows, hey, that means we can press on. We can press on. He said, I don't want to deal with your problems. And your, as he said, Terry Virgo says, your carnality, your arguments with one another, your misuse of the spiritual gifts, your worldly wisdom. Come on, sort it out so we can change the world. Amen. Abraham was called to an enormous task. Go to the promised land. Hebrews 11 tells us he didn't even know where it was. He headed off because God had told him. God had told him that's the land. We've got promises, brothers and sisters. We got promises to believe, to hold on to and believe God for. Paul, many years after writing that, he stood before King Agrippa. And he said, on that day when God baptized me and called me, he told me, you go and you be the light to the Gentiles. You take my gospel to the Gentiles, of which we are all part, by the way. And we've got so much to be grateful for Paul's obedience. He stood before King Agrippa and he said, the vision that came from heaven, I was obedient to that. How do you play your part? Well, there are many ways. Not everyone will leave and go to the far-off nations. But you can pray. You can, get, first of all, give yourself to the local church. If you want to take some notes down, okay? Give yourself to the local church, this church. And believe God for big things. Okay? Secondly, start praying for the wider churches in our movement and across the world. When God gets hold of your heart, when God gets hold of your heart and you start to see through His eyes, it's you're unable to walk down the street without feeling, Lord, is this the one you want me to speak to? We sat in London yesterday or Friday and just looking at the people. I mean, from all over the world, I don't need to tell you. And you think, God, what a harvest field we have. What a harvest field that you can do it. So you can give yourself to the local church. You can pray. You can then give generously. Do you know what a privilege it is? To be able to give to the local church. To see God take what you've got and then multiply it. You can participate in that way. Next year, in May, in fact, this weekend next year, all the churches of regions beyond in the UK are getting together. I think it is this weekend, is that right? It's this bank weekend. I was hoping you're going to cheer. Let me say it again. Okay. No, well, you wouldn't know. Okay, it's fresh off the press. Next year, this time, all the churches of regions beyond are getting together for a weekend. Peter's going to be there, okay, and somebody at the back over there. It'll be a chance for us to get to know one another. Some of the people I've mentioned are going to come and be with you from the nations so that you can get, are you the one that has the church on the roof? That's me. How did you do it? He will tell you, well, I haven't only got that church now. I've got another one as well because they've planted out already. And this is a city being torn apart by bombs and suicides and all this stuff. You will meet people from India where they've taken Hindi and English and made the people one. One nation church. Wonderful stories. You'll meet people out of Burundi and Southern Africa, out of the United States and out of Europe where suddenly you see, wow, is this what we're part of? Because so often Christians come to church and they think, oh, we'll go and be encouraged so I can get through the week. Brothers and sisters, that's not what church is for. We do encourage one another. We give each other courage. But we are here to make Jesus famous across the nations. God's got a great thing for us. We've been assigned this field. And I know myself, I want to stand before God one day and say, Lord, we went. We did. All you called us to do, we went and did it. We fulfilled what you called us to do. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. I was at one of your sister churches here in this part of the world a few weeks ago. And it was, thank you so much. It was a wonderful Sunday morning. And I said to them, before I go, I need a couple who've got some time on their hands who'd be willing to leave and go and live in Mauritius for 3 to 6 months. I saw an email come through this morning. And this couple that thought they had retired. You know, we're retiring now. We've done our bit. Suddenly, I was in their midst saying, come on, the world's got to be won. And they're getting ready to go in September. And you think, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We were in our staff meeting the one day, and we had this lovely Sri Lankan lady, Niroshni. She's such a good friend of Heather and I's. And as we're there, God said to me, tell her to pray about Maseru. Who of you know where Maseru is? No idea. Southern Africa, or you got Africa. You all know where Africa is. Yeah. Even the Jamaicans. Yeah. You can see our piece of land, by the way. It's that big one, okay? Southern Africa, and you've got the nation of South Africa with all its poor history, but its promising future. And right in the middle of it is this nation called Lesotho, the world's second poorest nation in the world. The capital of that nation is Maseru. Heather and I helped some others plant a church there. So I took a piece of paper out of my Bible. I always keep some here, so if you get one later, you know you're in trouble. I wrote Maseru on it. I went over and I put it in her hand. I said, start praying. Somebody else had given her a word which said, you will be in a place of the red earth. I gave her Maseru. And then she started praying about it. She said, anybody know anything about Maseru? When some visitors came, they said, oh yes, that's the place of the red earth. That's why it's called Maseru. Amazing what God can do in a moment. All you've got to do is say, Lord, here I am. I will be responsible for the field you give me. And then together, we will be responsible for the field you give us. It's a privilege for me to be here today. Sorry, I have now been speaking for an hour. Let's go change the world for Jesus. Amen. You up for it?
Yes.
Okay, jump to your feet. Where's that fabulous pianist? Do you know that you're coming back to Dubai with me? You do know that, eh? Have you told them yet or not? Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just lift your hands? Just put them out before you. I've painted a very big picture for you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray right now, have your way with us as we come to a close. Have your way, Lord. I'd love to pray for a few different people, and please help me mark others if you feel there's anything you'd like to do. I feel there's some of you this morning, the word radical is going through your mind or is in your heart. And you're thinking, my walk with Jesus has actually grown so cold. My walk with Jesus has grown so cold. And if that's you this morning, I wonder if you'd just acknowledge that before the Lord. Just lift a hand, just say, Lord, that's me. Call me to a radical walk with you again. Father, a radical walk with Jesus. And if that's you, pray the short prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want to see the things you see. I want to do the things you do. I want to feel the things you feel. Lord, catch me up in your purposes, I pray. Forgive me for just growing cold. Light my fire again, Lord. Light my fire again, Lord. Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel, secondly, you want to really count for Jesus. So in other words, you want to start having some real radical experiences in Christ. Okay? And be careful about this one because Jesus takes you seriously. Okay? But if you feel this morning, I want to be used by Jesus, and I don't mind what it costs. If that's you, come out to the front. Okay? I'm going to do some things. You don't have to be shy. God won't do silly things with you. He knows you. He knows what you're capable of doing. He knows what He'd like to do with you. But if you feel like doing some radical things for Christ, it'll be at work. It'll be at home with your family. It'll be all around. You can come. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful for the day that I stepped forward at a time like this, never believed all God would do. Thank you, Father. Wonderful. You're not too young and you're not too old. Do great things for God. Anybody else? I want to do radical things for Jesus. Go for it, Mark, if you'd like to add to that, and then we'll pray.
Just have a word for you as a church, and it's about this radical future that God has planned for you. And as I was driving up here this morning, I just felt God show me the two cities that were being built. One was a fortified city and one was a storehouse. And I just say, Lord, I want to understand what that means. I just felt God show me that maybe part of your history has been that you have built a fortified city. This is our church. This is our area of influence. This is what we are. And also that you've built a city that's gathered in resources, a storehouse. And you feel very satisfied with the thought of being fortified and plenty of resources. But I believe God is saying to you today, from this day forward, you will no longer be a fortified city where you trust in the horse and rider and in the might of armies, but you will be known as a people who understand the loving kindness of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And no longer will you have portcullis style doors, but your doors will be flung wide open to the nations.
Come, Lord.
No longer will you gather those who are of similar heart, mind, nationality, but your fame for loving kindness and the trust in our Father's loving kindness will gather many from many nations.
Come, Lord.
Your doors will be wide open. So Lord, what about the storehouse? And I just felt he showed me that you no longer have a storehouse to gather into, but he's giving you a storehouse from which to distribute out. You are to be a generous people, and you'll find a generous heart as you take steps forward, saying, but we must give this, we must give away, we'll give away, we'll give away, because God has first given to us. He is changing the dynamic of who you are. He's turning you around, and he's going to bring upon you an identity that you've only dreamed of.
Thank you,
but
Lord.
An identity that will shape and change.
Thank you, Lord.
Your world, the world of Croydon, and the worlds beyond Croydon.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Father, we pray that right now over this community, Lord. I wonder if you'd just all lift your hands at this point. Lord, give them the ability to lay hold of this word, Lord. We just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bless it and you would give it energy, Lord. You give them insight, Lord Jesus, to go forward. Pray for that right now, Lord. Put it in our hearts to believe you, Lord, a mighty storehouse for this city and for the nations, Lord. Come and do it, Lord. Come and do it, Lord Jesus. Come and do it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, for those people standing up front now, what we're going to do is just come down the row and take you by your hands and pray a short prayer. And what I want you to do in faith, I want you to receive a fresh anointing from God. Okay, remember Jesus breathed on his disciples. Paul laid hands. And something is imparted, and that's what I want to do for you right now. And as you receive it, say, Lord, I want to receive this to be radical for you. Radical for you. I want to play my part. Just do that as we pray for you. I'll start this end, and Mark and Heather, if you want to, or others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pray right now, Lord. Right now in Jesus' name. That's right. Take that, Father, fresh anointing, Lord. fresh anointing, Lord Jesus. That's right. Ooh, lovely. That's very nice. Thank you, Father. Fresh anointing for all you've got for her, Lord Jesus. Fresh anointing, Lord Jesus. Fresh anointing, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, come right now, Lord. Come right now, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just pray your anointing right now. In Jesus. That's right. There you go. Just receive it right now. Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, pray for Yah right now, Lord Jesus, that what you have begun, you would take on to completion in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you for her testimony earlier. Now I pray, Lord, let her walk in the power of what you've called her to do. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just receive it. That's right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Let him flood you this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. In Christy, Lord Jesus. That's right. That's right. Just drink it in. Just drink it in. Father, more of you, Lord. More of you. Let this voice be heard, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Christy, I feel the Lord wants to say to you, get ready to pull the nets in. And the picture I see is of those fishermen who fish off the beach where they go in the boat and they take the nets far out. And they drop the net out in the lake or the sea. And then they return to the beach and they grab the two ends and they start to draw it in. There's a harvest coming for you. A harvest. A good catch is coming. Father, I pray your blessing in Jesus' name. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, your anointing right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Lord, I pray right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Your anointing for these days, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, story after story, story after story. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's right. You just take it. That's right. Take it. There you go. That's right. Just let him flood you this morning. That's right. Just let him flood you this morning. Thank you, Father. Just bless him, Lord. Never the same again. That's right. Never the same again. Lord, put it in his heart, Lord. Put it in his heart, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Lord, anoint this young man, Lord, for great things. Even this week, Lord. Even this week, Lord Jesus. What is your name?
Kessa.
Sorry?
Kessa. Kessa.
Kessa? Is that right?
Yeah.
Kessa. I just feel there's real healing in your hands. Okay? There's healing in your hands. And when the opportunity comes to pray for the sick, be quick to lay hands. All right? And it's nothing fancy. It's no big voice, no religious voice or anything. It's just a hand on the person saying, be healed in the name of Jesus. Okay? You command healing. Okay? God wants to anoint you today for healing. For healing in Jesus' name. For healing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad you came out. There's a real mercy gift in you. There's kindness in you. God wants you to walk in it. He wants you to want you to feel His mercy now. The times you felt, oh, Lord, I'm such a failure. Such a failure. But God wants to say to you, you're going to know mercy. You've known mercy from God. And He wants you to show mercy. He wants you to show kindness. And the things that you have at times in your hands where they seem so little, God is going to multiply. And the more you sow, the more you're going to see multiplication of all you've got. Father, I pray right now for this dear lady, Lord. Give her all she needs to fulfill this task. Mercy. Mercy in Jesus' name. Mercy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm also very glad you came out. I was going to call you out if you didn't come. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, thank you, Father. Just feel that God wants to say to you that He's given you so much more than you believe. And even in this church, God wants you to rise up. He wants you to rise up and begin to use the talents He's given you. You're a talented person. Although at times you feel defeated, God wants to say, rise up, mighty warrior. Rise up, mighty warrior. And I pray right now, Lord Jesus, for fresh anointing. Take it. Fresh anointing. Pour it into her, Lord. Pour it into her, Lord Jesus. Sabahudru sabah. Thank you, Father. Just pray your anointing on this life, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father God.
What is in your heart?
Father. Thank you, Father. Come, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Just pray, Lord, for a radical walk, Lord. A radical walk, Lord. A radical walk, Lord Jesus. Come, Rhonda. You rise up in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Just let Him flood you. Thank you, Father. You've got a natural wisdom. You must walk in it. You must walk in it. God's given you the ability to help others, to speak, to guide. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Flood your life right now, Lord. That's right. Just take this. Fresh anointing, Lord. Fresh anointing for great things, Lord. Fresh anointing for great things, Lord Jesus. Fresh anointing for great things, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just want to say thank you so much for having us. It's a great joy to come and be with you and to get to know you. I'm very happy to pray for more people, but just to encourage you. One of the things, I was a businessman, and when God really got hold of my life, and I used to say to Him, Lord, today, let me touch one person's life. Okay, just one person. Whether it's kindness, encouragement, healing, salvation, whatever it is. And it's one of the best ways to get your spiritual life going. When you just pray that, say, Lord, I'm going out today, give me somebody. And you will not believe what God does. I want to encourage you that starting next Sunday morning, it is Sunday, sorry, I'm in the Middle East, it's Friday we meet. Sunday, when you meet, you have an opportunity for testimony where you can just say, this is what happened to me this week, and you'll see God will begin to do it, and He starts to multiply. God bless you, Father. I thank you for these dear friends. I thank you for Damien and Sandra, Lord Jesus, and I pray, Lord, for the other leaders that you would bless this work, that we together, Lord, would see great things come out of this part of Croydon. I pray, Lord, you would multiply them, we would grow them, and Lord, as their faith grows, they'd be able to participate, Lord, in praying and giving, resourcing, working with, sending people across this nation and into the nations, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you.